Welcome, friends, to Inspirational Truths, a time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price, and I'm always happy to say it's Inspirational Truth time once again, and to greet you in the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. And if He isn't yours, He wants to be. If He isn't yours, He can be. If He isn't yours, He came to be, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. That's what Luke 19 and 10 tells us, and it is actually the very words of Jesus Himself. Well, I'll tell you what, I love this season, don't you? I love the Easter season. I'll tell you, friend, listen, it's because He lives. The Bible tells us that Jesus that was dead is alive. Hallelujah. Let's put you on shouting ground. Won't it right real quick? Jesus said, I'm alive. He said, I was dead, but I'm alive, and I'm alive for evermore. He said that in the book of Revelation 1:19. I believe it is, and because He lives, He tells us again in John 19:14, you shall live also. Or 14:19, excuse me. Well, I'm just excited about it. Excited about the message God has laid on my heart, and I trust with all of my heart it'll be a blessing to you. I've opened my Bible to the book of Matthew chapter 26, and from there I'll read the first 6 verses of that chapter and then share the message that I believe the Lord laid on my heart. But before I do that, Deb's got a song, one of our favorites actually, that she has written long ago. The title of it is Mystery of the Cross. You enjoy while you listen. I'm sure you will.
He stood there before Pilate, this King of the Jews. People crying out, crucified. They brought Jesus to Pilate. He said, I find no fault in Him, but I'll deliver one to you, but one will have to die. Why would a king give up his kingdom? Why would a king lay down his crown to become the greatest story man had ever found? Why would a king give up his portal to come down and die for me? It's all then released Barabbas, and he delivered up Jesus into the hands of sinful men. Then they nailed His hands and feet to the rugged cross. I can't help but wonder why this king had to die. Why would a king give up his kingdom? Why would a king lay down his crown to become the greatest story for me. I will never understand though this King has set me free, it's all such a great mystery. It's all such a great mystery.
Oh, I love that. Don't you? And it is, friend. Why a King would bleed and die for somebody like me. Well, I'm glad that he did, friend. I'm so glad that he did. He not only died for me, but he died for you. He died, according to the Word of God, for whosoever will. Now, I know that goes against a lot of this new resurged hyper-Calvinism, I'll refer to it as, and I believe that's how it is referred to, that says his atonement was limited, but I'll tell you what. The potential of the shedding of Jesus' blood was for every man, woman, boy, or girl who lives, has lived, and ever will live. But I'll tell you, listen, he's done his part. It's up to us to do our part. What a great season it is as we celebrate the fact that he that was dead is alive, and he's alive forevermore. I'm glad that he came out from among the dead, aren't you? I love the way that that is. And by the way, can I tell you that the resurrection means a standing up of the body, not of the spirit, but of the body. And that is so, so, so important to understand. In the book of Matthew chapter 26, I'm going to begin reading verse 1, as I said, read down through and include verse 5 and share the message I believe God has laid on my heart. And it came to pass, I like that phrase, don't you? I like that. I like that phrase for a lot of reasons, especially when certain things come in my life that, well, that are troubling. Can I tell you what we're going through in this world? What we're going through with this pandemic and this problem shutdown of not only the United States, but also of really a globe, a world, a global economy. But he said, and it came to pass, it's another message altogether, is it not? When Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said unto his disciples, you know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. And then assembled together the chief priests and the scribes and the elders of the people under the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and consulted that they might take Jesus by subtlety and kill him. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people. Now, I'm going to ask you something. Who do you think won out in that? Who do you think went out? Do you think that Jesus, when he told the disciples it's going to be 2 days, the Son of Man is going to be betrayed, to be crucified? Or do you think that the religious elitist of that day said, we can't do it then, not unless there be an uproar among the people? Well, here's what I'm going to talk to you about today. I'm going to talk to you about the only day Jesus could die. There was only one, friend. There was only one way for him to die so that you and I might be redeemed and be justified in the sight of God. There was only one way, only one means, only one man, only one method. Now, I've read after people that foolishly and ignorantly said, and I don't know why they say things like they do sometimes, they said it didn't matter how Jesus died. He didn't have to shed his blood on a tree. Hey, I'm telling you, friend, the Word of God teaches that he did. The Word of God said that they pierced my hands and my feet in a prophetic utterance given by a man by the name of David in Psalm 16. I believe Moses was the one that said that cursed is every man that hangeth on a tree, and he that knew no sin became as sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. But I want to talk to you just a little while about this day. Hey, listen, you say, preacher, do you believe that? I certainly do. Listen, the Word of God says this in the book of Galatians chapter 4. When the fullness of time was come, verses 4 and 5 actually, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of son. Listen, friend, I believe when Jesus came in this world via virgin's womb, God had a specific day for Him to be planted in that virgin's womb and for Him to be presented in a little town called Bethlehem as He was wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger. I believe that with all of my heart. I believe with all of my heart that there's going to be a day. And I don't believe, friend, that it's too far off when God's going to say, okay, son, time to go get your church. And there's going to be, like John said in the book of the Revelation 4:1, after this I heard a voice, saw a door open in heaven which said, come up hither, thank God. I believe there is a day prescribed and described by Almighty God. I don't know when it is. You don't know when it is. But I believe God knows. And listen, friend, when that day comes, He'll come. So I believe with all of my heart that God had a plan for a day when His Son, Jesus Christ, would die for the sins of all mankind. I believe there was only one day, and I believe this Scripture proves it. Jesus, listen, He had been teaching the great Olivet Discourse. We see that in chapter 24 and 25. In chapter 23, He had scathed the elders. He had scathed those scolds religious who's. And boy, he called them hypocrites, vipers. I mean to tell you, friend, listen, he just didn't hold anything back. But oh, here He is. He's a king. Bless God. I mean, He's in control. There are people that think and feel like Jesus was a victim during this time. But oh, look, I believe with all of my heart He was as kingly here in this hour and this time and all of these events as He ever was when He walked in the footstool of God. Remember Matthew's reason and rationale for presenting to us the gospel according to Him. It was to present to His people and hence to all the world, bless God, the King of the Jews. And I'm telling you, friend, listen, He was no victim here, but He was in control. He was sovereign. And oh, He knew where He was coming up to. He knew where He had come from. He knew what His mission was, what He was to accomplish in an hour that was come. Now listen. 6 months prior to this, we find in Matthew 16 that it was a place called Caesarea Philippi. He was up north. He was up at Mount Hermon. He had had an experience with Peter, James, and John, God the Father, Moses, and Elijah on the top of that magnificent mountain where He was transfigured, where He spoke about His death. His exodus was the word that I was trying to recall when He talked to Moses and Elias about it. Those two great representatives of the law and the prophets, all of the Old Testament, thank God. And listen, Jesus began His descent from Caesarea Philippi to His ascent to a place called Jerusalem, to a mount called Calvary, and to an old rugged cross where He would become God's Lamb on that altar, that cross that became an altar, so that He in that hours, those 3 hours of darkness, could become the sinner's substitute and could become that sacrifice that satisfied God's demand upon mankind. Listen, He set out from Caesarea Philippi to go to Jerusalem. I believe it's in Luke 19, maybe verse 51, where the Samaritans wouldn't receive Him because He set His face to go to Jerusalem. Say, why, preacher? He knew the day of His death was near. He knew for the cause that He'd come into this world. He knew the purpose. He knew God's plan, and He was more than able and willing to fulfill it. Now, Jesus said, listen, fellas. Listen, I've just prophesied some things to you about the end days, but let's get back to why I'm here in this day. My day, mine hour, as John called it, mine hour has not yet come, Jesus said several times in the gospel according to John. But then He said, my hour has come. Jesus said this, know ye that after 2 days is the feast of Passover. Isn't that beautiful? So I want to give you the thoughts really, really quickly. I'd like to preach this. Oh, I'd like to preach this. Just take my time, but I do not have time to look, friend. Look, Jesus again was in control. The men that were the who's of that day, religiously speaking, if you will, they thought that it was an impossibility for Jesus to be crucified on the day of Passover. But Jesus said, I got news for you, fellas. It's imperative. And you say, why? Because God had a plan. Listen, according to the book of Luke, it was divinely determined that Jesus would die on that time. In the book of Acts chapter 2, when Paul, we've got the record of Peter, not Paul, his great sermon on the day of Pentecost. He said in this in verse 22 and following, "You men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved to God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves all also know him." Now watch this, being delivered by the determinate counsel of God, you have taken by wicked hands and have crucified and slain. I'm here to tell you, friend, listen, this was a plan, a plan that came out of eternity, somewhere in eternity past. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit got together, and that eternal Godhead said, listen, we're going to create mankind. He's going to disobey and transgress. He's going to become a sinner. He'll need a Redeemer. He'll need a Savior. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to determine that Jesus, the only begotten Son of God, will die at a place called Calvary on a day, on this day, the day when we celebrate the Passover feast. So that the Lamb of God, John would talk about and proclaim that He came to take away the sin of the world, could do just that very thing. You know what I'm telling you, friend? I'm telling you, nothing could cause God's plan to be thwarted. Nothing could get in the way of God's plan. God ordained it. God decreed it. Do you hear me? God planned it. I mean to tell you, friend, listen, when they decided and they decreed on that plan, on that place, and on that day, there was nothing man could do, nothing Satan could do, nothing all the hordes of hell could do to get in the way of God's Son dying at a place called Calvary. Oh, look, man thinks, listen, his desires are greater than God. Man thinks his plans are higher than God's. But I want you to know God is almighty. And there was only one day, only one day, only one place, only one man that could die to satisfy the holy, righteous demands of almighty God so that sinners like me and you, sir, ma'am, could be saved. So it was divinely determined and also plainly prophesied. Go over there in the book of Hebrews, and I've got to hurry. Time goes by so quickly when I'm doing this program. Over there in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. Bless God, you'll find some prophecy of this. Jesus, listen now. Well, wait just a minute, I'm getting ahead of myself. You'll find in Hebrews 10, in the beginning of it, that the law had a shadow of things that were yet to come. Hey, do you know that Jesus is coming? His virgin birth, His sinless life, His substitutional death, His burial, His resurrected was prophesied down throughout the Old Testament. Over there in the book of Luke chapter 24, verse 44, on that first day of resurrection, Jesus met up with those two folks that were on their road, on their way, on the road to Emmaus, talking about the recent events of that day. Jesus disguised Himself, if you will, joined them, and they began to talk. And all, listen now, He called them fools and slow of heart. Ought not Jesus had suffered and fulfilled all those things that had been written about Him? I'm not reading it. I'm just simply telling you the essence of it. And look, if you look in verse 44, bless God, of chapter 24 of the book of Luke, you'll find that Jesus made reference to the laws, to the law and the prophets. Oh, bless God, I'll tell you, Jesus, well, let me get it and read it. I'm going to get it and read it. I think it's that important. I listened to what He said. He said, yea. He said, I went, well, where is it at? He said, look, ought not in verse 26, Christ to have suffered these things and enter into His glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded unto them all the Scripture, or in the Scripture, all things concerning Him. Isn't that amazing? Thank God, I'll tell you what, His death, His burial, His resurrection was plainly prophesied from the day that Isaac looked at his father, Abraham, and he said, look, Dad, he said, we've got the fire, we've got the wood, but where's the sacrifice? Listen, Abraham said, God will provide Himself, not for himself, but God would provide himself a sacrifice. Listen, Isaac asked the question, where is the lamb? And oh, some millennium later, we hear John in the first chapter of the record of his gospel, we hear him say in verse 29, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. But on over there in Exodus chapter 12, on the day that God was going to bring the nation of Israel out of Egypt's bondage, he said, Moses, you go get a lamb. You set it up on the 10th day. You slay it on the 14th. You apply its blood to the doorpost and to the lintel. And listen, I'm going to send a death angel through this town, and we're going to bring my people out. My chosen, we're going to bring them out. Do you know the Word of God says in the book of 1 Corinthians 5:7, and Paul did to the Corinthians, that Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Do you know in the book of Revelation 5:6, John said, listen, when he was cleaning his eyes up after the angel said, behold, John, the Lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed to take the book, to loosen the seals, and to look therein. Well, I'm about to get happy. When John looked, hey, you know what he did? He looked and he said, behold, he said, I saw a lamb as it had been slain, standing there in the midst of the throne. You know what John said? Hey, listen, he died. He was buried. But he was standing. He had been resurrected. Hallelujah. Hey, I'm telling you something, friend. Listen, his death was plainly prophesied. Oh, wish I had time to delve in that. But I want you to know, listen, that when Jesus was crucified, I believe on Friday, He hung from 12, from 9 to 3, bless God, on a cross. And around 3 o'clock, the Bible said that he cried with a loud voice, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. He cried and said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and died. Do you know, according to all that I've been able to dig out, what I've been taught and told, that it was at 3 o'clock when the Paschal Lamb was slain. It was 3 o'clock in the evening when the evening sacrifice, that daily sacrifice that was required by God Almighty was to be continually offered by His people, the tabernacle, and then at the temple. It wasn't 4 o'clock. It wasn't 12 o'clock. Bless God. But it was 3 o'clock. Hey, I want you to know something, friend. I believe God had a day planned in eternity past where His Son had to die. And I believe it had to be on the day of Pentecost. A man didn't want it to happen. Satan didn't want it to happen. Bless God, religion didn't want it to happen. But God declared it. God decided it. God brought it forth after He decreed it. And His Son died on that day. Bless God, when the Passover lamb would be slain, when His blood would be let out, when it was to be shed. Hey, listen, I don't like to hear somebody sing about the blood of Jesus being spilled. I don't like hearing somebody preach about the blood of Jesus being spilled. I'm here to tell you, bless God, it was no accident. It was divinely determined. I mean to tell you, it was a plan prophesied. And oh, look, in closing, I want to tell you, it was faithfully fulfilled. How was it not? It was faithfully fulfilled. You know what I believe? I believe Jesus did. I believe He did exactly what the Word of God said that He would do. You remember over there in the book of Matthew, chapter 5, I believe it is, verse 17. Jesus said, now listen, fellas, I didn't come to destroy the law, but I came to fulfill it. He said, and by the way, there's not one jot or tittle that'll pass from the law until all be fulfilled. I believe Jesus fulfilled everything that Moses wrote about Him, that every prophet from Isaiah to Malachi wrote about Him. I believe every psalm that was messianic that spoke of Him was fulfilled. I bless God when it comes to His first coming, don't you? I believe those five feasts that we read about over there in the book of Leviticus that pointed to some aspect of the one sacrifice Jesus gave gave at Calvary, when He gave His own self, holy, I bless God as a whole sacrifice. I mean to tell you, listen, a burnt sacrifice is what I was trying to say. I bless God. I don't believe He held anything back. I believe He gave God all that He was, all that He could be, all that God knew that He was. And I believe He fulfilled it all, don't you? I believe He did it faithfully. Or you say, now preacher, listen, don't you see Him in the garden praying? Don't you see Him begging God to let the cup pass from Him? Yeah, but don't you remember hearing Him say, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Can I tell you what I believe? I don't believe He was worried so much about Calvary in that prayer. What I think He hated when He looked into that cup, saw all of that sin, all of my sin, all of your sin, and when He saw, bless God, the dregs of it, all the way down to the bottom of that cup, I couldn't imagine what it would be. Had to be holy and then all of a sudden had to have all of that filth, all of that ungodliness, all of that hellishness, all of that sinfulness poured upon Him. Oh, I can't imagine what that was like for Him to look into that. But thank God, listen, I don't believe it's the fact that He was worried about death. He knew that He laid His life down and that He would take it up again. He had that power. God had given Him that promise because He loved the Father and because He did God's will. Listen, the Word of God tells us in Hebrews, and I think I even will turn over there and write it. He said, listen, He said, for the blood of bulls. No, He didn't. Yeah, He did too. But let me get it and read it instead of trying to quote it. He said, in burnt offerings and sacrifices, for sin thou hast no pleasure. And then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will. He said it again in verse 9. Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first that He may establish the second. I'm here to tell you, bless God, and that God had a divinely determined plan, did He not? Hey, He plainly prophesied about the coming of His Son, how He would come, when He would come, what He would do when He come, how He would live, how He would die, how He would be buried, and how He would resurrect. But listen, friend, and you know what? I don't care all that God planned. I don't care all that God prophesied through how the prophets of old. Somebody had to carry it out, and Jesus fulfilled it. I bless God faithfully. I mean to tell you faithfully, He fulfilled every jot and tittle, every word. He said in the book of John chapter, where's it at? 5:30, 6:38, at least 2 times. I came not to do my own will, but the will of Him that sent me. Thank God. Listen, friend, He carried out a plan. It was well orchestrated. It was well illustrated. And He did it for sinners like me and you. Listen, sir, ma'am, I got news for you. Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. And if you'll call on Him right now, He'll save you. If you call on Him right now and say, I'm a sinner, I want You to save me. I repent of my sin. Oh, God, save me. For Christ's sake, you know what He'll do? He'll save you. Oh, thank you for tuning in today. May God richly bless you. And may we all rejoice in the fact that He that was dead is alive. Amen.